Okay, Brad, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Awesome. So thank you so much for being here with us on this interview. I wanted to interview on this topic because I know that you're a complete badass at this. So
cool. Thanks a bunch.
Really wanted to. Yeah, that's it. That's all. Take it easy. I just wanted to compliment you, then leave. No, but yeah, so you've got a lot of knowledge around this. You've obviously been with a ton of women, and not that you're counting or anything, but there's been a lot, and you've had a lot of different sexual experiences, and this, because you're so advanced, I think you're probably most qualified to sort of talk about this topic. And of course, the topic is threesomes and how to make them happen. And I know that you have a process for this too. My first question for you actually is, how did you kind of come across this process? Was it like trial and error? Did someone teach you, or how did you get it?
It's an interesting story, actually. I was pretty much wanting threesomes my whole life, like I think every guy does.
Yes, yeah, because you have a penis.
Yeah. And I remember back when I was in college, I was not very enlightened in this subject area. And all my friends, we used to say, oh, we wish we could get threesomes. And none of us ever got one. And my roommate in college, his girlfriend was bisexual. And she used to say that she was going to have a threesome with him, and she'd kind of tease him about it, you know, and she had him believing that she was going to have a threesome with him. And she told me privately on the side, because we were good friends, she said, I'm never really going to have a threesome with him. I'm just trying to get his, you know, having a little fun with him, trying to get a rise out of him.
Right.
So as I went through my, you know, mid-20s, I had girlfriends, and they would kind of, you know, flirt with the idea of having a threesome, but it was the same kind of thing. None of them ever went through with it. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to get really into seducing women, and I was learning, and I was fucking girls on Cold Approach, and I was fucking girls in dance clubs and doing all these crazy things, I got to the point where I said, I think I want to learn to have threesomes now. And I tried to tackle it as a topic the same way I tackled everything else. Work on it, learn about it anywhere you can, and apply what I learned.
Right.
So I thought back on it, and I thought back about how my roommate never got threesomes, and I never got threesomes when my girlfriend would talk about it. And I said, you know what? If you leave it up to the girl you're dating to make it happen, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And that was my first insight into the world of threesomes, that as the male in the situation, you actually have to take charge of the whole thing. And if you're in a situation where the girl isn't comfortable with that, or doesn't want you to take charge, or you're not able to take charge, it's probably not going to happen. So if that's the case, you need to get into a situation where you can take charge, and find a girl who's comfortable with you taking charge.
Okay. So then again, I guess in that case, it's more about the frame of the interaction from the very beginning than it is about just kind of going up to someone that you don't know and then just trying it out. It's more about like a process that you go through, framing it, setting it up right so that you're the one in charge. And then after that, you sort of start the process of setting up the threesome.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's what you do from the beginning. It's everything you do. It's not just one little thing. It's not just one little trick. So what I did was I found it to be a difficult thing to learn in the beginning. And I had to find my own expert to learn it from. And that's the way I learned a lot of things when I was learning, because I learned at a time when the internet didn't really have a lot to offer in terms of seduction literature.
Right.
This was a long time ago, and all these ebooks weren't really around. But I had a friend who was a natural, and he had had, I don't know, 30 or 40 threesomes. And he also had had a few foursomes with like three girls. So I said, all right, this is the guy I got to learn from.
Right.
And he lived far away. He's a buddy of mine who lives in Kentucky. So I said, hey man, I got to fly you to New York. You got to coach me on this for, you know, a week or two. Would you like to have a vacation in New York? And he said, okay, I'm down. So,
that's a pretty good investment.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, if you're really committed to something, do whatever it takes to accomplish it. That's how I look at things.
Right.
So he pretty much gave me the rundown of all these different threesome situations that you can work with. Mm-hmm. And he also helped me identify how I could get my first threesome, because the first one is the hardest one to get. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that he did for me right away in the beginning was he made me feel like a threesome is a normal thing, mm-hmm. and it's not that big a deal. And most people have done one in their life at some point. Mm-hmm. Most girls have done it. A lot of guys have done it. Mm-hmm. So I had the view that it was some superhuman thing and you had to be some ultra player mm-hmm. to do this. And he said, no, you know, a lot of people have done it. You know, plenty of normal people just get really drunk at some point and have a threesome.
Right.
So that made me feel better about it. I was like, well, if a bunch of drunk people can do it, I can probably do it. You know?
Yeah. I'm smarter than a drunk guy.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Yeah. So that gave me a more positive attitude about it. And that's what you need when you've never done something before. You need to feel like it's doable, it's attainable. Other people have done it. Mm-hmm. You start to feel good about it. And then the journey to getting there it's not such hard work. It's not such a laborious task.
Right. So that definitely is the first part of it, is realizing that it's normal. Not just that it's possible, like you're saying, but it's normal. And then the second part is definitely knowing what, you know, having like an action step, you know, on what to do to make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, that can come in just a minute. We can go over that in a minute. I know you're going to dive into the specific steps on how to do that. But before we do that, I have just a quick question about some of the stuff that he was teaching you back then, kind of when he first got there.
Yeah.
First off, did you just kind of sit him down and take notes, or did he like take you out and show you certain things, or was it a combination of both? Like, how did he go about getting this information across?
No, it was just very informal. Mm-hmm. When you learn from naturals like me, it's kind of, I knew I could do some things that he couldn't do and he could do some things that I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. So we would just hang out, and sometimes we'd just go out and chase girls, and we might talk about threesomes a bit on the way there or on the way back. Mm-hmm. And he would have some stuff he was working on, and I would try to help him with that stuff as well.
Right. Okay.
Cause I was kind of advanced at this point. You know, I wasn't new at this anymore, and my cold approach game was quite a bit better than his.
Right.
Naturals don't tend to be that great at cold approaching.
Right.
But when they get in the interaction, they're really good at closing. You know, they close a lot better than most seduction community type students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was teaching him a few things. He was teaching me a few things. And the cool thing was, when I actually was putting the steps into action, I could say, hey, the guy, this is my friend Buzzy. I actually did an interview with him, which is on my site, mm-hmm. where he explains all this to me. I could say, hey, Buzzy, I got this girl. She's saying this thing. How do I handle this?
Right.
And he would say, okay, yeah, I've seen that before. You just got to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, he would actually give me kind of like almost real time advice.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So what were some of like the big mistakes or the big walls? And you said, like you said, you're pretty advanced already when you got to this.
Right.
Considering that anyway, what were some of the big walls that you ran into in the beginning that you needed the most help with?
I needed help with focusing my strategy on something that was really going to happen.
Okay.
I think that's hard for anybody who doesn't have a program like this or a teacher. You know, a lot of people say, all right, I'll just go out and hit on girls. And when I get one that wants to fuck me, I'll say, all right, let's go find another one, you know? And
right.
That's kind of doing it the hard way. I mean, it can be done. I've done that, but for your first threesome, you know, you don't want to start with the most difficult
right.
ways of doing things. So he said, all right, what do you have? You have this strength and this strength. You have this girl and this girl. Here's a strategy that can work for you, even though, you know, you're probably going to be a little jittery with the whole thing. You don't really know, you know, you're not going to be as smooth as somebody who's done it 5 or 10 times.
Right.
So we kind of identified an attainable way of doing things. And he taught me all the more advanced ones as well, but I just kind of wasn't ready to put those into action right away.
Okay. So what was your first threesome? Well, first off, did you have a couple attempts that didn't work out first, or did it just work the first time you tried it?
it actually worked pretty good the first time I tried it.
That sounds, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, because it was it was a surgical operation. You know, it was there was no mistakes.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, my first threesome. You know, Buzzy said, "Do you have any girls who are just kind of down to fuck you like anytime you want?" And I had like a 5 or 6 girl rotation at that time. And I was like, yeah, I got some girls like that. They're just like girls who are fuck buddies. And, you know, they think they have an image of me as like a highly sexual guy who's a really exciting guy who's not necessarily relationship material. And Buzzy says, okay, great. Do you have any of those girls that are kind of expendable, you know?
Just in case something goes wrong?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, and I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind burning a few, you know, if I need to. You know, in pursuit of, you know, improving in this area. So he said, okay, well, think of some girls that are kind of just down to fuck and they're kind of expendable. If you lose them, you won't be super bummed. And they're real sexual kinds of girls, you know? And I said, okay, yeah, I got a few girls in my mind. And in my mind, I was like, I kind of picked out the girls like at the bottom of my rotation, you know?
Right, yeah.
They weren't the absolute top shelf hottest girls. They were cute girls. They were like, you know, 21, 22 years old and, you know, reasonably thin and average looking girls. They weren't beauty queens, you know? But I like all kinds of girls, you know?
Right. They weren't high maintenance, I'm guessing, either.
No, they weren't high maintenance, and they were very sexual. They were exploratory, I guess. And the way I kind of look at women is, you know, there's different kind of girls who have different kinds of value. Some girls are really cool to hang out with. Some girls are really cool because they're so hot and everybody thinks you're the man when you walk by with them. And then there's some girls who are just kind of great in the sack, and maybe they're not, you know, the most socially high value girl or the coolest girl to hang out with, but they're just great in the sack and they're valuable in that way.
Right.
So these girls were kind of, you know, open-minded and good in the sack. And one of them worked at a sex shop and I told her, I was like, you know, I really want to have a threesome. I've never had one before. I think, you'd be a good person to do it with. And she was like, yeah, I want to do it. Now this girl was particularly sexually open-minded.
Obviously.
Yeah. And she wasn't, you know, she wasn't going to screw me over. She wasn't going to screw it up. She wasn't going to not show up. She wasn't going to,
you know, gonna freak out afterwards or anything.
Right. She wasn't going to freak out afterwards. But I didn't have two girls like that. I had one girl like that. And then the other girl that I chose was, I felt she was like somewhat sexual exploratory, but not to the point where you could just straight up say to her, hey, let's have a threesome.
Right.
You know, so I said, okay, Buzzy, I got these two girls and, you know, they're reasonably cool and decent looking. And one of them will pretty much be in on it. What should I do from here? And he says, okay, so in order to make this happen, what you should do is the girl who's like, you think would do it, but she'd probably do it in the moment, but she wouldn't do it with planned out.
She wouldn't plan it. Exactly.
Right. She wouldn't plan it out. We'll call her, you know, girl one.
Don't make it too complicated, obviously.
Yeah. So he says, invite girl one over, tell her there's a surprise, get her into bed, get her turned on, start fingering her and stuff, and then have girl two, who knows what's going on and is cool with everything, have her just kind of show up and ring your doorbell and then go let her in. And bring her into the room with girl one.
Okay. Was this nerve-wracking in any kind of sense for you?
Not really. You know, I really had trust that what Buzzy was telling me would work because he'd done it so many times. And I wasn't really afraid of losing these girls. I mean, they were cool girls. But I was at the point where, like, my rotation was, like, growing too large and, you know.
It was kind of hard to wield it.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, it was like there was no failure possible. If I lose, I lose. I go out and chase girls that night. If they both tell me I'm a jerk and they both go home, I'll just go out to bars and chase girls. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
So sure enough, Girl one shows up. I got her into bed. I got her naked. She's all hot and bothered. I'm fingering her. Bing, bing, the doorbell rings. I'm like, okay, that's the surprise. So this is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this girl one is going to do.
Right.
So I let girl two in, and I bring her into the room, and I say, hey, this is the surprise. Then I just go right back to, like, fingering her.
Okay.
And
so don't give her any kind of you didn't give her any kind of second to think about it, really. You just keep going.
Right, right. I wanted to keep her in a state of arousal, so that she wouldn't become super logical and start, you know, saying, should I do this? Should I not do this?
Right.
So I'm sitting there fingering this girl, and the other girl and her just kind of start talking, and they're just sort of building rapport with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And having like a very normal conversation.
That must have been really strange.
It might have been a little bit. I just acted like it was normal, you know?
Right. Right. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So they're kind of building rapport, and I say, hey, come here. And I pull girl number two in, and I start kissing her a little bit and taking some of her clothes off. And then I'm kind of, you know, fingering both girls, and then the girls kind of start touching each other, and before you know it, we're off to the races.
Right. Okay.
So the two girls are getting into each other. I end up fucking both girls. Both girls are blowing me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like a few different stages. You know, we kind of like have sex for a while, and then we take a break for a while, and everybody talks, and actually really interesting conversation these girls made. You know,
yeah,
for
I
like
bet.
15 or 20 minutes. And then we go back to having a bunch more sex for a while. And, you know, all together, the whole thing had to be like 2.5 or 3 hours.
Oh, really? Wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like,
that's a lot longer than I usually spend in that.
And
I just threesomes for me. I've probably the longest one I've ever had is probably a couple hours. And that felt like an eternity.
Yeah, it was long, but a lot of it was just hanging out. Talking in bed, you know.
Right.
It wasn't like I was like the human jackhammer for 3 hours, you know. It was kind of, there was maybe 40 minutes of sex or 45 minutes of sex, or and then like another 40 minutes of oral, but a lot of it was just chit chat, you know.
Right.
So both of the girls had a really positive experience, and they kind of said, hey, let's do this again next Monday.
That's great. So did you put that on your calendar?
Yeah, so I put it on my calendar. And one of them said, oh, I have another friend who might want to come, so maybe we can add one more girl and make it a foursome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, great, that sounds good. So, you know, one thing gets in the way, another thing gets in the way, logistics get screwed up, end up not having another threesome with these girls.
Okay.
I did, you know, have sex with them one-on-one a few times more, each of them, you know, mm-hmm. but didn't end up having a threesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they both had a positive experience. Everything was cool. Everybody was happy. You know, I kind of kept in touch with them. That girl number one eventually, let me see, how could I put this? She sort of redefined the whole thing in her mind years later.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that it was like a terrible, horrible experience, and she was coerced into it or something like that.
Oh, but my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
You're a horrible person, Brad.
I know, I'm a horrible person. I mean, when I saw her and she was telling me stuff like this, I thought back on it, and I looked in my emails, and she was sending me emails like, can't wait to do this again. This is amazing, you know?
All this proof she liked it.
Yeah, well, I was just like, I don't want to give anybody a negative experience, so I kind of had to double check myself, you know. But, but one thing you got to remember is, you know, every once in a while you'll meet a girl who puts a negative spin on things years and years later, or months and months later. Mm-hmm. There's really not so much you can do about it, you know, and you got to try not to worry about it.
Right.
Actually, I have the whole threesome on videotape, and she's on the videotape having a great time and all happy and giving me the thumbs up and everything. So.
So if it ever comes down to court, you've got... Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. But.
No, I'm kidding. But it's still funny, though.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So basically, that was your first experience. And then from there, you've sort of honed it. And then not that you had to do much honing. It sounds like that went pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, that one good.
And then I remember my first one was, I'll tell you a little bit about mine after actually I hear your process, yeah, because I don't want to muck up your process by what I do.
Okay.
Or what I did when I was, actually I did this more when I was single than when I had a girlfriend, to be honest. That's right. More realistic, I guess, for most guys, unless you have a bi girlfriend or someone who's, like you said, very sexually open to exploring.
Right, right.
But so the first thing I, then since I kind of got that out, and that was really like, that was definitely worth listening to the story. What would you say then, you know, once you started getting into this, you started like kind of breaking it down, because I know that you're pretty good at breaking things down into a system.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you come up with that was the process that worked for you most of the time that, you know, other people could follow too that worked?
Well, it's just kind of understanding each scenario. What Buzzy taught me was that, you know, the way I did my first one was the easiest way, but there's other things you can do. You can have a girl that you're already fucking and the two of you go out and look for a girl together. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I had that actually worked out amazing. I had my greatest threesome with that one, and both the girls were ultra hot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of started with the average girls, and then I was like, all right, I want to do this with hotter girls, and I want to do this with different scenarios, you know.
Right. Same thing I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I had the situation where I kind of picked up two girls that didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And then I had, you know, Buzzy kind of taught me each one of these scenarios, you know, how to deal with two girls who don't know each other, how to deal with two girls who do know each other,
right,
how to deal with a girl you're already fucking and just adding one more girl in, mm-hmm, how to go out to a bar with this girl and find a second girl.
Right.
You know, and then eventually I had some threesomes with a girl who I was in a serious relationship with as well. And that's a whole different topic too. So, you know, I don't want to get in deeply into each and every one of those scenarios because we probably just don't have time for that.
And they're probably not as, some of them aren't as relevant, you know?
Right.
I think the two that are definitely most relevant are going to be how to meet, how to take two girls that you're sleeping with already as kind of like fuck buddies and then get that to work. And then also how to go tandem hunting. Sounds like the other one. I'm not expecting the guys to go out and pick up two because it's really actually pretty difficult to pick up two girls at the same time. Well, I mean, the truth is it's sometimes easier than picking up one girl, but to a guy doesn't know how to pick up one girl by herself, that can be really, really difficult, let alone have a threesome with them. So let's leave that one as more of an advanced one.
Yeah.
And we'll take the relationship one and leave that as an advanced one too, because that's really advanced. Because you have to deal with the aftermath on that one. Like, everything's got to be perfect.
Right, right.
So let's take the two that are A, easiest, and then B, least risky. And let's talk about them first. So we already know a little bit about, you know, understanding what to do whenever you have two girls that you're already sleeping with. Let's go into that kind of fully, and then we'll go back and kind of talk about the differences between that and tandem hunting, so to speak.
Okay. Okay. So where do you want to start?
Let's start at the beginning. So how about this then? You've got, several stages that you go through. What's the first piece of advice you have before a guy even gets started that he needs to know whenever he's, you know, basically approaching this concept with a girl that he already knows he's sleeping with? So he's got two girls. What's the first move that he makes?
Well, for his own self, realize it's normal, realize it's no big deal, realize you'll probably do it more than once, so there's not a lot of pressure for it to go perfect the first time. Mm-hmm. And then you want to kind of implant the fantasy into the girl you're already sleeping with.
Okay, so if you're sleeping with two girls already, but let's say you're sleeping with both of them already, you just pick the one that is maybe the neediest or the most compliant or kind of thing?
Well, you want to pick the one that just loves to have sexual adventures, the more sexually adventurous one.
Okay, cool. Got it.
And even if it's just mental, I think the beginning of a threesome for a woman is the mental fantasy of the threesome.
Okay.
So there's a way to do that. And this is kind of like, I don't know if you know who David Shade is. David Shade is a guy. Okay, so you know him. He teaches how to get women sexually aroused mentally in an extreme way. Mm-hmm. So I kind of take a page out of his book, and I would be maybe having sex with a girl and narrate a fantasy about a threesome, kind of just whisper it into her ear as she's already having sex with me. So right. What this is going to do is it's going to tie those two feelings together, the feeling of sexual arousal with the feeling of a second girl there.
Right. Okay. So that basically pre-exposes her to the idea.
Right.
And anchors that emotion, you know,
right.
To that. Okay. So let's say that, I'll add something here too, which is what I would do, what I typically do. Cause that's talking during sex for some guys is actually a little uncomfortable. Though, yep. If you're going to be having threesomes, you're going to have to get over that anyway.
Yeah, you're going
to. but still, you know, to say that someone's a little reluctant to do that. Another one you've probably done as well is especially if you've read or used any of David Shade's kind of stuff, he used a lot of NLP.
Right.
In his
hypnotism.
Yeah, exactly. In his seduction techniques. And one way you can do this is that I know of is to have a conversation about something that is normal and then lean it toward – sort of make it so ambiguous you can't tell if you're talking about having a threesome or some kind of sexual experience with more than one person, or it's still the normal conversation.
So, right? For example,
you may say, you know what we should do? We should get massages. And I've only had a massage. Have you ever had a massage with more than one person giving a massage at the same time? It's like you have 1,000 hands on you, right? So then you start to describe this feeling, right? It doesn't feel like there's two people there. It feels like 10 times better. You know, and as you go deeper and deeper into this massage, you get more and more comfortable and you let go more. And so you basically just narrate the entire story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when she begins to be comfortable with the idea of two people touching her body at the same time mentally, then that frees her to feel comfortable with the idea of two people being with her naked at the same time, right? So it's kind of a similar idea, except that instead of anchoring it, in this case, because what you're doing whenever you anchor it is a sort of like a it's not that it's more risky at all, actually. It's actually much less risky, but the difference is that you're already intimate in that moment. So if you're trying to get to a place, if you want to bring this up whenever you're not intimate, like, you know, just like in a normal conversation to kind of seed it and make it a little bit of like sort of pre-frame the interaction, that works really well. I've done that a lot for a lot of different experiences that I want women to be comfortable with. Just kind of describe something similar, but that is not sex. And then after I'm done with that, just stop and drop it. Don't even continue. Like, don't make it look like I'm about to connect it back to sex somehow, and then don't do it. And what'll happen is her mind will actually connect it and make the same associations and do all the work for me, and I don't have to do anything, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Now, I'm sure you've used that sort of thing even unconsciously before, just kind of
talking, sure.
You know?
Yeah. I'm familiar with the 1,000 hand story as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the bottom line with this is that you want the woman to become mentally comfortable and even sexually aroused by the thought of a threesome, and you want it to become a regular part of her fantasy life, because women fantasize on a daily basis,
right.
And you want to have her start fantasizing about this regularly before it ever happens in reality. Because that's what's going to make her want it. That's what's going to make her comfortable with it. And that's going to prevent you from being in a situation where she's like, this is weird. I'm not into this, you know?
Right. I mean, basically, we work on a series of sort of compliance hoops that we jump through. You know, if I'm already agreed, like if we already had a conversation about something, or I was comfortable with you talking about something before, you know, let's say that, you know, you're with a girl, she's comfortable with you talking about creating a fantasy for her about a threesome, right? And then when it comes time to actually have a threesome, she'll be much, much, much more likely to be comfortable with it in general, because she's already agreed. The funny thing is that did you just say the 1,000 hands story, as in that's something that's already that people do?
Oh, yeah. You have, I don't know, maybe you've kind of.
I had no idea that was
created this
thing.
It's an old, I think it's an old Neil Strauss bit.
Or oh, really?
Maybe he popularized it. He's a buddy of mine. So
oh, that's funny. It's an obvious jump, so I'm not surprised that other people have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's great. Okay, so you get sort of seeding the idea, right? And then what's the next step for you? I know that maybe it's like, maybe there's some things in between, like you probably play it by ear most of the time and just kind of let it develop. But what's your process from there on if you have two girls that you're already sleeping with and you want to get them together?
Well, if they both seem pretty open to it, I kind of just invite them both over about half an hour apart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And kind of do it the way I did my first threesome, like that whole process I was describing.
Right.
You will be in some situations that are easier than that as well. Some girls will both agree to it and be totally up for it. And then you just invite both girls and you hang out for a half an hour or an hour and have a snack and they have a couple glasses of wines and then you just get to it. You know, it's not always real difficult or real tricky or it doesn't always need a whole lot of technique. Sometimes the girls are just into it already. One girl, I kind of implanted the fantasy and then she took the fantasy in her own direction. And I said, how's your fantasy doing? You know, and she says, it's great. Now I have a fantasy about having a threesome with red haired girl.
Oh, great.
Right. So I was like, okay, so all I got to do at this point is invite over a red haired girl mm-hmm. and this girl's going to be good to go. I say, well, what if I bring over a red haired girl? She said, that would be great.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, girls will, they'll help out because they want to do this stuff too. Girls love this like kind of kinky stuff that is kind of forbidden and unusual and exciting and they're really into it.
Right. Okay. So
you want to talk tandem hunting?
Yeah. Cause your story basically described how to do that pretty well. It's not like you need like a, you know, there's probably some major pitfalls that you want to avoid. But I think you pretty much covered them all. I mean,
there's a lot of things to remember with tandem hunting.
I was still talking about the two girls.
Yeah, we've been through that pretty good now, I think.
Okay, is there anything else that you can think of that are like big mistakes that you see a lot of guys make that maybe you didn't make whenever you were doing this that you might want to mention?
You know, I have to tell you, not a lot of threesomes go wrong and not a lot of mistakes get made. Mm-hmm. If you do it, a girl's not going to really critique you that much. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a threesome. There's no hard and fast rules for it, really. Or, I mean, one thing I would say is some girls might be familiar with threesomes, so they've had them before, and they have their rules for a threesome. So say to a girl, do you have any rules?
Okay.
So a girl might say, okay, don't kiss the other girl. You can fuck the other girl, but you can only eat me out. Or she might say, yeah, we can fuck this girl, but she can't sleep over. You know, there's like, there's various rules that girls have, and they don't always make sense, and they don't have to make sense. You just ask them what the rules are, and you follow the rules, and don't mess up. Because if you violate one of their rules, that's, I mean, it's unforgivable.
Right.
You know, it's disastrous. So try to respect people's rules.
If there's a first, I probably assume that the girl who's more familiar with this or who's more open to it in the beginning, or the first girl you bring it up to would be the one that you'd ask for rules for. The second one, maybe not, but I guess you'd probably, if they're both familiar, you'd want to do both of them.
Yeah, and even if you're already in it, you can say, hey, anybody have any rules they want to throw out there right now? You know?
Right. Right in the middle of it, stop and go, oh yeah, by the way.
Or in one of your little breaks.
I have a little rule. Okay, cool. So that's relatively simple then. Let's go on to the next sort of next level, let's say, a little bit more complex tandem hunting process.
Yeah. Okay, so the deal with this is you have one girl who wants to have a threesome. She has a fantasy, blah, blah, blah. She's ready to go do it. So, you know, when a girl has the fantasy, she tends to get very specific about how she wants it to occur. Some girls want to see you go get the girl. Some girls want you to just sit there while they go get the girl. And you just kind of, you want to try to play it out in a somewhat similar way to what she's fantasizing about. However, you don't want to operate under all the limitations of her fantasy. If possible, you know, you want to have a little freedom to maneuver. So one thing that you can do is you can have a little makeout session with your girl. And if you're targeting a new girl, you can kind of open your eyes during the makeout and you look at the new girl.
Oh, good. That makes a lot of sense.
And then you kind of switch. Maybe you turn around the other way and you're making out again. And then your girl looks at the new girl, like has strong eye contact with her in the middle of the makeout.
Right. Okay. So sort of involving her from a distance and more of sort of like showing her that both of you are cool with it.
Yeah, it might get her a little turned on. Mm-hmm. Then when you're actually, maybe you'll end up meeting that girl if it's, it may be a warm approach or a peer group, or you might just want to, you might just open her. And at that point, it's kind of all about letting the girls escalate each other. You often don't want to get too hands-on with the new girl because, I don't know how to explain this. I guess for me to roll in with a girl already and then be escalating the second girl, it can look slutty for both girls. Right. Both girls could look like whores.
Mm-hmm.
But if my girl is escalating a new girl, it doesn't look slutty because girls will touch each other a lot in bars, even if they're just friends, and there's not going to be anything sexual.
Right.
So it's sort of, they feel that it slips under the radar and it's not noticeable and it's not detrimental to their status in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of hang out and you may escalate your girl a bit, or you might even do very subtle escalation on the new girl, but mostly you're going to hang out and kind of just be the guy who's very relaxed about it, very normal with it, and, you know, is not being too pushy.
Right.
It's great to let your girl do the work for you and not be the guy who's like pushing forward and pressuring. When it comes to picking up one girl at a time, it's great to be persistent and to, you know, you don't want to pressure, but you do want to keep things moving, and you have to initiate and all that.
Right.
With a threesome, it's a little, it's not like that. You want to have your girl doing the escalation and the advancing.
Right.
And
you would look like you could take it or leave it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then if they're escalating each other and it's looking really good, one of the hard parts can be just to get them both out of there and home or to wherever you're going to go. That can be really tricky because just like any, you know, same day pull type situation, there's going to be logistical issues. If she came with friends, she now has to leave those friends and they go, so where are you going? Oh, you're going with these two? What the fuck? You know, and,
yeah.
So,
okay.
My suggestion is kind of let your girl do the escalating, mm-hmm. while you try to figure out the logistics a bit.
Right, and you don't want to do the logistics in front of them. You just kind of want to figure it out and then suggest something that is.
Yeah, solution. Yeah. You want to say, "Hey, all right, who are you here with?" And then you want to kind of scope those people out and see how clingy they are. Some people will let their friends just leave, and it's no problem, and other people are like very clingy and where are you going and who are you going with and can we come too and all this.
Right,
so right. You want to kind of try to anticipate how this pull is actually going to go down.
Okay. And then when it comes time to actually split, let's say that you're like, okay, we're going to go back to our place, you know, your place, let's say, right? And then have a drink.
See, I might not even say it that specifically.
Okay.
A lot of whether you're pulling one girl or two girls or whatever, the less specific you can be, the better. When I was doing tandem hunting in New York, I would say, hey, let's go outside for a minute and get some air. And then we'd be outside and I'll say, hey, why don't we jump in a cab and get out of here?
Right.
And then we'd kind of get
little
in the cab.
Baby steps.
yeah, right. And then I'd say to the cab driver, okay, you know, take me to this address and it would be my address. But I would never kind of say to the girls, do you want to go to my place now?
Right.
Can we go to my place now? You know, because the language of that is so objectionable.
Right. Okay.
To a girl, mm-hmm. you know, they've been brainwashed to never agree to go to a guy's place, or anytime somebody says, want to go to my place, automatic no.
Right. It's like a, you know, it basically means that she's going to feel pressure to put out or something, you know?
Right, right, right.
She does that.
Right. And, you know, if she doesn't want to go and she hears you telling the cab driver where to go, you know, she can say, wait, where are we going? I don't want to go. She can get out at any time. She could say, take me to my place instead. And, you know, you'll take her there. You're not abducting this girl. She can make her own decisions,
right.
But you're not putting her in a situation where she has to make any decision.
Okay. Do not abduct girl.
got that, everyone?
Awesome. Okay. So this sounds really smooth. I mean, it sounds really relatively easy. I guess here then the only wild card is the girl that you're bringing, you know? And I can imagine that if you don't bring a girl who is comfortable in her own skin enough, maybe a girl, it would definitely work better for a girl that you've had threesomes with before already.
Sure.
Because then you know she's cool with it and you're coming out with it together and you're going, I mean, you're going out specifically with this in mind. What do you do a little bit? Like, what do you have to say about getting that girl ready to go? Is there anything you need to tell her? Like, do you need to say, hey, I'm just going to sit back and chill and let you do the initiation and let you choose the girl and everything?
I don't usually put it that way because, again, if the girl is in charge of the threesome's not really going to happen.
Okay. How do you prep her for going out then if she's not,
You never want to have her agree to it ahead of time. Never, because then she's going to feel pressured. You want it to be like, hey, we have this threesome fantasy and it's established. And hey, maybe sometime when we're out, if we see a girl we both like, maybe we'll take her home sometime. And the girl will say, yeah, maybe someday we'll do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when you're out and it kind of starts happening, it's something that's like, as the ladies say, it just happened.
Right. Plausible deniability.
It's never like we're going out tonight to look for a threesome, and if we don't have one, he's going to be upset and I need to get one. Like, girls do not work well under pressure. Right. Pressure is the absolute enemy of your threesome. Anytime she feels obligated or she feels like she has to perform or she has to pick up, you're done for at that point.
Okay. So then instead of like, so I like this. This feels really familiar to me.
Yeah.
Because I've never, looking back on mine, I've never had a situation where I planned it ahead of time. I mean, maybe I did. Maybe I planned it, but I didn't let anybody else know that I did. You know?
Yeah.
It was always like kind of secret.
You may be moving the pieces on the chessboard, but everybody doesn't necessarily have to know that.
Right, exactly. And actually, it's funny because... secretly, both of them will probably know that you're doing that. But as long as they don't have to confront it directly, they're probably usually pretty comfortable.
You know? That is correct.
I can tell you a little bit about my first experience. I didn't have any rules for it either. I mean, you had someone to tell you a little bit about it, but and that's awesome. And it sounds like you get a lot of information that I didn't get the first time.
Yeah, Buzzy was great. He taught me a lot.
Yeah, I have friends like that too. I just didn't have anybody in this area. So what I did is, I was kind of like, I need a situation in which I can back out at any moment and it'll be okay, you know? And so I can kind of let things happen. So I did a similar thing. Actually, at the time I had a girlfriend and I didn't tell her or anybody what was going on. I just had her and I had a girlfriend, but I was also polyamorous. So I had several girlfriends, you know?
Yep.
And I wasn't exclusive with any of them. And just one that I had that I was hanging out with a little bit more than the rest of them. So what I did is I actually had them both meet me at the same place at the same time, and then I didn't show up till later. So I called one or I texted one, and I was like, okay, meet me at the coffee shop at blah, blah, blah. And she was like, okay, at 3 o'clock, right? And then I texted the other one, and I said, hey, meet me at the coffee shop at 3 o'clock. I'll be there with a friend of mine. And then she goes, okay, too. So then when I found out the first one got there, I texted the other one and I said, hey, I'm running a little bit late, but look for my friend. She looks like this. And then I texted the first one and I said, hey, I'm running a little late. Look for my friend. She looks like this, right? So what happened was I was sleeping with both of them already, right? So that also helps. And when they met, they sat down and they started talking. And of course, they're going to talk about you, you know? I mean, you're the common point of interest and they're both there to meet you. So They both started talking about me, and then as soon as I got there, I just grabbed a bottle of wine. We drank the bottle of wine. And I said, "Let's go back to your house." And I never say place either, by the way.
Right.
I don't know why. Just that word place, like let's go back to your place, sounds like
it's too 70s.
It is. It just makes me think.
Let's go back to my place, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. Leisure Suit Larry style.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I was like, "Let's go back to your house," I think the first question was, "Do you have another bottle of wine?" We try to figure out who had a bottle of wine, you know?
Oh, that's good.
One girl did, so we're like, okay, let's go back to yours. I probably had some at my place too, but, you know, I just wanted to bring up the conversation. Yeah. It was like we're figuring out the logistics together in this case. And then we're like, okay, great. We had an accomplishment. So we went back, and then and that's how I got them both at the same place, both on a date with me basically, and both wanting to hook up, you know? And that went really smoothly, and that was really fun. But and then I have had more sums than that. I've had a foursome one time that went One time that stands out in my mind that was pretty interesting, which I'll tell you a little bit about. Have you had any like horror stories doing this?
One time, I mean, I wouldn't call it a horror story, but one time we all fell asleep and one girl had the rule that nobody should sleep over. So it violated her rules and she got bummed on it. Right. But, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't that bad.
That didn't sound like a horror story, but it sounds, nah. sounds like it's less than perfect though.
Yeah.
I had one time where I went out with those same two girls actually.
Right.
And we went out to a bar and it was, I can't remember if it was my birthday or one, I think it was my birthday. And we went out to a bar and I didn't need anything. You know, I was going to the bar to drink with these two girls and then we're going to go back to our apartment and that was it. And it wasn't like I had anything in mind. And as we started walking back to the apartment, because I was walking distance from the bar, which I highly suggest for a lot of people, if you're going out a lot to meet girls, it's a lot nicer to just walk down to the bar than it is to drive and do all that crap. So if you're thinking about moving to a place and you're trying to meet a lot of chicks, just move close by instead of having to travel. But
yeah, for sure.
So what I did is we went there and I was just hanging out and then we left from there and realized as we were walking back to the place that there was some other girl following us, you know, like in the group that was drunk and just coming with us, you know. And so we get upstairs and she's just there and I didn't have to even talk to her really. The only thing I had to say was that she was trying to like hook up with me when none of the other girls were there and I had to stop her from doing that.
Right.
Because I didn't want her to get into relationship mode or like, you know, hook up with just me mode. I didn't want the other girls to feel alienated. So when they showed up and they came in, we started and we hung out for a little while. And then about halfway through, one of my girlfriends stands up and walks out of the room kind of briskly.
Okay.
And then we're like, what happened? So we look around and realize that she had thrown up everywhere, just puked.
Ooh, geez.
All over the place. So, and this was like, it was like I was conducting an orchestra anyway. It was three girls, you know, and, you know, they didn't really know each other very well. I mean, the two knew each other, but the new girl didn't know anybody really, except she had met me a couple times. And so she threw up. The other girl went to go help her out. And then I was left with this new girl kind of in the bedroom by myself. And then she tried to seduce me. And when I like held her back and said, no, we got to wait, she told me she was in love with me. And like,
ooh, that's
out.
Messy.
Oh my God. It was fucking terrible. It was literally messy because I had to clean up the puke everywhere.
But
yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Damn.
oddly enough, it's still, I didn't really paint it with a bad picture or anything in my mind. It's still obviously, I thought it was a pretty fun experience, but you know, up until that moment, it was pretty fun. But after that moment, not so much, but
yeah, sometimes crazy stuff happens. You want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
As they say in Fight Club.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, man. I mean, this is plenty of awesome information. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to bring up. I think that guys have pretty much a beginning to end process that you've laid
out.
Yeah,
I gotta run, but that should get everyone started. And I'm sure you have a lot of great other info in your product here, and they can track me down and. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing I would just kind of close on is that I know that you're really, really good at something that I know that would really help these guys out a whole lot, especially to make this happen. And that is how to get women into like a seductive mood within like less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's really good to build your sexual comfort and to build your sense of what you feel is possible and what's not possible. Mm-hmm. That's part of the growth process of anybody who's learning. And, I actually worked with a guy who had a process. He would meet a girl and go all the way to sexy time in, 10, maybe 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he had like a way to get around the cock blockers and all this stuff and kind of make it happen without anybody figuring it out.
Right.
And he was actually kind of like a friend of a friend. And, you know, my whole group of friends used to have a nickname for him because they would see him at a bar, he would walk up to a girl, and they would just walk away together and go do it. And nobody knew how he did it, and so they used to call him the pheromone kid.
Oh, okay, got it.
Because they would say, it must be the pheromones or something, and everybody would go try to rub their head in his armpit, get some pheromones going, you know. But it wasn't the pheromones. It was like an exact process that he had. So I actually kind of studied this guy the same way I did with Buzzy. That's where I learned most of my stuff. I learned it from Naturals, and then I learn it myself, and then I teach it to my students. Mm-hmm. So he had this method for seducing women in 10 or 15 minutes, and I learned it, and I interviewed him on it. And it's actually a pretty complex method, and it's, you know, kind of advanced. Mm-hmm. But the interviews that I did on it are available on my website, and you can give your guys a link to it, a link to bradp.com, and mm-hmm. they can get my Pheromone Kid 10-minute seduction interview, because, you know, it's kind of a good, it goes along with the threesome thing well, because it'll expand your idea of what's possible. It'll teach you how sexual women really are, and that they do want to do these highly adventurous things,
right.
even though they say to most guys that they don't, you know, deep down they want to do some extreme sexual acts.
Right. Okay.
So right. maybe you can give them a link to that. And,
yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Check it out.
Go ahead and, if you know, since you're listening to this now, go ahead and click the link below this audio file. You'll see a little button down there, and it'll take you straight up to see his the sort of the method that he's talking about here for the 10-minute seduction, his Pheromone Kid method. And you can just learn about it in there and understand it a little bit better and see if you're ready to take the dive and really, really get into the details with it. So yeah, go ahead and do that. Brad, thank you so much, man. This has been one of my favorite interviews. I really liked it a lot. And
you're yeah,
obviously extremely knowledgeable and really great to have you on here. And I'm looking forward to finding some other excuse to interview you in the future.
Cool. Let's, yeah, we'll do it.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.